episode number four.
Four episodes.
I was going to say episode three then. It's not episode three, it's episode four.
I had to do a little count up first. Yeah. Did you see that I went straight in then? No awkward.
Yeah, you did. Like right in there.
No awkward stare. Mm. That's good.
Yeah, but now you give me an awkward stare. But well done. 10 out of 10 for trying.
Thanks.
You're welcome. How was your week this week? Normally you jump in and ask me first. So how was your week?
No, you asked me first last week.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
That was nice of me.
It was. And I made a point because the week before you just completely forgot altogether and just, you know, talked about your own week. This week, I did a load of interviews yesterday with some students from the school, which was interesting, but it's tiring doing back-to-back interviews. So that was fun. I mean, they're a great bunch. They had a lot to say. So that was good. And then other than that, I've been...
Filming.
I don't want to say it every week, but yeah, that's what I do a lot of the time.
Lots of filming.
I mean, how's your week been? What did you do?
What did I do? I feel like I've had a really busy week and I don't really know why I've had a really busy week.
You did some baking.
I baked this week, yeah. And I never normally bake, ever. I like cooking. I don't really like baking.
You bake cookies quite a lot.
Yeah, I do. But yeah, they don't count. They're easy. But I made brownies this week. And what was the other thing I made? Like millionaire shortbread.
Oh, yeah, that was the week before.
Yeah. So basically lockdown is just getting as fat as possible.
That's
our plan for round two.
Makes us happy, doesn't it?
But yeah, other than baking, what have I been doing like this week? Lots and lots of research, actually. Lots of class plan research, lots of online workshop-y stuff with some teachers that I'm a big fan of. So.
And you've got a workshop coming up? Are you planning one?
I'm planning one, yeah. Planning a workshop.
See, I listen.
Yeah, well done.
Key part of any relationship, guys, listen to the other person.
Yeah.
And make notes.
When you feel like it, yeah.
So is that it? Is that
pretty much my week. I've taught a lot of classes as well, but yeah.
Yeah, lockdown, the living room's turned into a yoga studio.
The living room is now a yoga studio again, yeah. I'm wondering how we're going
to
fit the Christmas tree in now.
Yes,
Heidi. Need to do yoga in front of it.
Heidi, if you're listening, Amy has to buy the Christmas tree because after last year's episode where I ordered like a 7-foot one, I'm no longer allowed to buy the Christmas tree.
No.
So, who have we got on this week?
We've got Bridget on this week.
Ah, we have.
We're so excited.
Very excited.
Yeah, we're very excited. Mrs. Bridget Hunt, she's been in our lives for a little while now.
Many years,
in fact, yeah. She's one of my top people of all people.
I think she's just one of the top people.
Yeah, I'd say she's one of the top people. But she's definitely one of our top people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really excited actually because I think it's going to be really interesting. We've got a lot in common, but Bridget's path has been really interesting.
Yeah.
So it would be good to have a good old chit chat.
Yeah. Should we bring her on?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's bring her on. There we go. Hey, Bridget.
Hi, B.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm still stuck on you saying you made millionaire shortbread. And I was about to say, where's my shortbread? Then I reminded myself I've actually put a stone on since March. And I've promised myself that if I was going to say the word good, but we don't use that word.
No.
I'm going to pack myself full of healthy stuff. And then at Christmas, I'm going to re-engage with huge sugar consumption.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But the only reason I don't want to put any more weight on is, quite frankly, I can't fit in any of my clothes. Yeah.
I know, right? It's the worst thing because you've got a millions of pairs of leggings and it's all you wear and then you can't fit into them and it's
none of them.
Yeah,
all of them leave. You know when you get a bit too fat for something and they leave a mark on your skin when you take them off?
Yeah,
you get the line. You know, like when you've had an elastic band around a bit of food or something like
that? Yeah, that's what I am. Like a giant bit of food, maybe dough, that's had an elastic band around it. That's exactly what I am.
Yeah, I feel that. My shirts are the same. I've got a wardrobe full of shirts. Can't wear any of them.
Yeah. That is a story of your life, isn't it? You buy a shirt, then you can't fit it, then you fit back in again.
Yeah.
The only thing is, guys, that most people have been on social media, and we must talk about social media today.
Oh, that's on my list. Don't worry. That's on my list, obviously.
But most people on social media, I've noticed, have gone, yeah, I really let myself go on lockdown, over lockdown. And then you see them out running, cycling, doing yoga, jumping up and down, doing online Zumba. I've done none of that.
Yeah.
I've actually done none of it. I think since March... okay, I did some online spin classes at the beginning. I think I've run 3 times since March.
Yeah. I mean, you have had some other things to take care of.
Yeah, you have.
A little baby.
So I was going to ask you how have you been? Because I think you're very much, you're like me, you're very much a self-professed doer. You like to do things, you like to be busy, you like to have a structure. So I was going to ask you, how has, you know, everything since March been for you? But I think you can probably put it into two things. You can have pre-Lucia and post-Lucia. I imagine they've been extremely, extremely different.
They have and they haven't. We both isolated from March because I've got health problems. Kara was pregnant. We were advised to be really quite strict.
Yeah.
So the first lockdown, we isolated. Because we were both vulnerable, we managed to secure online delivery slots, which was amazing. And thanks to you, Amy, I didn't have to go into work a lot. Which was amazing. And I tended to go in very early in the morning when no one else was there. So that worked really well. I'm very, very happy with a very simple life. So actually lockdown suited me just fine, because all I had to do was kind of minimize my life. And that's exactly what I've done post Lucia, really. I just think I've got to keep my wife and my baby fed, watered, nappy changed, although I don't do that to my wife, obviously. you know, life's become very simple.
Yeah.
And it's, baby or not, I think this whole coronavirus has taught us that actually that's what's important. And if you make your life very simple and remove the complications, you're much less stressed.
Yeah, one of my most favorite quotes actually is by Matt Haig, and he says, make a life that's baggy enough for you to live in. And I really like that. I've learned very that good. More during this period, because, you know, before this I was teaching 18 to 20 classes a week. And now I teach 11, around 11, depending if I'm teaching privates, so I teach around 11 a week. And actually, it's just roomier. It makes such a difference. It really does. And I can think a bit more clearly in between each and deliver actually a bit more of what I want to deliver without teaching the same class three or four times in the week, which I don't, all of my classes are different. So yeah, I think you're right. Simpler is better.
I think we used to, I mean, I certainly was guilty of this. We used to carry around busy like a badge of honor. And certainly new mums, I think, fall into that. But, you know, we can come to that later. I think that's down to a lot of peer pressure. But as women, and I can only speak as a woman, we carry around this badge of honor, which says busy. And actually, that's no longer attractive to show off in lockdown when there are bigger things going on in the world. And someone banging on about how busy they are is actually very unattractive. Because maybe in your peer group, half the people have lost their jobs and would love to even be a tiny bit busy. So, you know, it's forced me to really look at what I do, how I behave, what's important, and just to minimise my stress. I mean, we all have to live with stress, that's fine, but I think I took on too much.
Weight of the world on your shoulders a little bit. So we ask everyone this question. This is the only question, I think. It's the only question, really, isn't it?
It's the only real question.
It's the same for everyone else. And that is, where did your kind of fitness and well-being journey start? Now, I'm imagining it was quite some time ago.
I mean, I'm old, so it's a long time ago.
I was going to say, given the variance of roles you've had in that industry. But yeah, when did it start? Like, when did you really, when did it kind of occur to you that that was something that was going to be a choice? Or was it not a choice? Did you just kind of fall into it?
I fell into it, although I loved sport at school. So I went to, I was very, very, and I'm just going to say this now, I was very privileged to go to a very good school. And as much as I hated school, and I did, I was bullied quite a lot, I'm still very grateful to my parents for providing that education for me. I think private education is a massive, massive gift. And it's one that I do not take for granted. And I think it gave me so much, even though a lot of it was a horrible experience. So I'm just going to say that first. And the reason I'm saying that I was privately educated is that we had access to some amazing sport. We had fantastic facilities. We had our own swimming pool. We had hockey pitches. We had lacrosse pitches. We had netball courts, tennis courts, everything.
Yeah.
And weirdly enough, the only thing I hated doing at school, which I now love, was cross-country running.
The irony.
The irony. I hated that being out in, you know, running across muddy fields, hard ground. Too. It was always seemed to be frosty, and mm-hmm. you used to be able to see your own breath for some reason.
Yeah,
the weather seemed completely different then. But I hated that. What yeah. I loved the team sports. I loved being, and I still have this, competitive with myself. I wasn't a great, not that I wasn't a great team sports player. I was on successful teams, but I don't think I fully appreciated doing something for the team.
Yeah.
Mm. I was much better doing things where I could push myself as an individual and not feel like I had to push anyone else.
Yeah.
And I'm still like that today.
Yeah.
Mm. It's why I'm not a good manager of people in my business, because I really believe people should take responsibility for themselves and yeah. find yeah. some... I'm going to sound really old now. Find some gumption, okay? Find
I love that some... word.
It's a great word.
It's a great word.
You know, find something within yourself that spurs you on to be and do better.
Yeah.
And I'm just not very good at getting other people to do that.
Mm-hmm.
In different arenas. In certain arenas, I'm fine. I'm fine one-to-one. Mm-hmm. I'm not the person to walk into a team meeting. You know, these real American-style meetings where yeah. someone's like, guys, this was shit. This is what we got. Oh, can I swear?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This was shit. And this is actually what we got to do. And I'm not that person.
No.
I'd much rather help someone find their own strength.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. And but that's what you do now.
Yeah.
And I think actually, like knowing you as a friend as well, I think that's just part of your characteristic. I think that's just part of who you are without, you know, aside from being a coach, from being whatever it is that you're training someone in, that's just who you are, in that you like to see people do well, but do well for themselves. Mm. You like to see people rise to what they can achieve. I think you enjoy that just in the people around you generally, regardless of whether it's, you know, a personal or a business relationship.
You know, it's funny. I know I'll go back to the sport fitness thing in a second. But just on that note, I find it fascinating that on the one hand, I love supporting other entrepreneurs. Mm. So I would love to see a world where people buy from people. And yeah. I think we are going to go in that direction.
Yeah.
I think in the future, we won't have masses of staff on the payroll. I think we will buy someone's services, so they will sell their services to us.
Yeah.
And I think it should go in that direction, because I think it will make people less comfortable.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that with any malice, but it will make them less comfortable in a job and more constantly thinking about how to do the best for themselves.
Yeah.
So I think the world, I think globally, we will do that. We will buy from each other. But I'm always... It's funny, I look at other people and I want everyone to feel entrepreneurial, but I also understand that a lot of people just aren't like that.
Yeah.
There are people, you know, a bit like worker bees or worker ants, there are people that like nothing more to be paid a set fee for what they do, and they just come in and they get that done.
Yeah.
With no aspiration, with no... And I used to get so annoyed with that, even with my own staff.
Yeah.
I'd look at them and I'd think, you know, as easy as it is for me that you've been with me for 3 years now, and actually to replace you is going to cost me. Oh, I want you to do better.
Yeah.
I want you to go and get more money if that's what you need,
yeah.
buy your own house or rent a nice flat, to go and travel the world. And I used to get so frustrated, Amy and Jono. Then I thought, actually, the world is made up with different people.
Yeah.
You need people that are happy to go in every day and do the same job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've really changed the way I think about it. I'm
yeah.
sorry, I digress completely away from the fitness question, which I'll now go back to. But I've been thinking a lot about it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because there's a lot of advertising at the moment where saying to people, everyone can be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And as the three of us know, it's freaking hard.
Oh, God, it's so hard.
You know, it's fucking balls to the wall sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Carlo and I, at the beginning, I mean, we had a £50,000 overdraft. Frequently, we were going 49,500, you know, under. Yeah. Oh my God, how are we going to pay the rent? How? And you need to be you really do need to be a certain type of person to handle that, because otherwise it buries you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So sorry, I went on a complete tangent there.
No, but that's, no, I get it. Yeah, but they relate. They relate really well. And actually, I think you are, out of the two of us, I can deal with that, but that's Jono's, like, that's very much your arena. I get not panicked, but I do get this sense of, like, if I owe money, I'm unsettled. If I'm, you know, I don't like it. Whereas you, this is not me saying Jono's in like hundreds of thousands of pounds of debt, by the way, because lol. But you do well. It doesn't irk you to have that weight on your shoulders.
No.
It doesn't, you know. And Jono's very much, you know, we have this business idea, we're going to go forward with this, but if this doesn't work, it'll be fine.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the difference, in that I have the idea and I create it, but in that instance, it's my baby and it's very much everything. And if it doesn't work, I don't really know what will happen. Whereas you can walk into something knowing that there's a chance it may fail, and you're okay with it if it does, because you gave it everything you had and you've tried.
I think that just comes from my logical mindset.
Yeah.
It's that, right, these are the steps I have to take. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know, it's not going to ruin my life. It's not going to ruin me as a person.
Yeah.
I'll just get back up and I'll do something else. Yeah. You know, there's always something else.
But that's very much an intrinsic thing, to know that if it goes wrong, it'll be okay. Whereas for me, it's, what if it goes wrong? And Jono all the time is the balance to that for me, going, probably won't. If it does, big deal, you know. And I think that's, I think you need a bit of that. You need a bit of, fuck it, to go into it. Like, you do need that.
But you also, Jono, I think you could really. So frequently now, I ask myself, when something really stresses me out, what would Jono do? And I think it would be the title of a great business book. What would Jono do? Because I have never met someone so unflappable in the face of stress in my life.
Yeah.
Ever.
Can you imagine Jono and Carlo working together? It would be like...
Maybe I'll chill him out.
Maybe you would. Maybe you'd chill Carlo out. Yeah.
Probably not.
Probably not, no.
No,
it's not possible.
Actually, probably kill each other.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But you'd love each other, but kill each other.
Yeah.
It's a real skill to walk into a fire and say, I may not have the equipment to put this fire out, but I'm calm enough to find it.
Yeah.
It's so hard when you're faced with a really stressful situation, business or personal, not to panic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's come from my yoga. Before I found yoga, I did used to get stressed. That was probably before I met you. But yeah, I did used to get stressed, but now just ride the wave. I don't mean to sound like a hippie, but
you're so more yoga than I am. Way more yoga.
It helps me ground. It has helped me to ground myself, even if, you know, as you know, I don't practice every day.
Mm.
But you know, I've still got that in the back of my mind, and it helps.
Yeah, it's interesting. Actually, we were talking about you yesterday, and we were thinking about questions and things. And actually, we came up with like no questions and just talking points, because I was like, we can just chat to be. It's fine.
Yeah, we can do. Well, we can chat for about 3 hours.
We can just chat for 3 hours. It's fine. But it was interesting, because I was like, right, so let's think of when I met Bridget. When did I meet Bridget? And I was thinking, and I was like, oh, it was in the Zumba days. And I went to a class. I think it was at Winning Post in Twickenham. You were there, and Lindsay was there. And then afterwards, Lindsay said, oh, Bridget teaches a class at Kingston Dance Studios. And it's on like, I think it was a Friday night.
Friday.
And she was like, you and Antonia, you should both go. You should go down. And that was the first time we really met, was doing that class. And I was like, you know what? Since I've known Bridget, I've known her as a Zumba instructor, a personal trainer, a coach and life coach, a massive spin enthusiast, an ultra marathon runner,
Gonna run out of fingers.
And as a yin yoga practitioner. And I never stopped moving. I was like, first of all, she never stops moving, but also they're so varied.
Yeah.
There's so much variance there. And do you think that was kind of a conscious thing, or do you think that was, you know, around health, physical or mental, or was it just a exploration of new ways to move?
Full disclosure, I think it's another addiction.
Yeah. Mm.
I think I have, such an addictive personality.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I don't drink alcohol, as you both know. Your listeners don't know that. But one of the reasons I don't drink alcohol, well, two of the reasons, really. One is that I've got kidney problems, so the two don't really go hand in hand. More to the point, I think I'd be an absolute massive alcoholic if I drank alcohol.
Yeah.
I used to smoke. Had to give that up because I started dancing a lot.
Yeah.
And dancers usually use it to keep thin. Mm. Great. I didn't. I used it because I freaking loved smoking. I loved it. I felt cool. I loved the taste of a cigarette, weirdly. I enjoyed smoking. I was a happy smoker.
Yeah.
Totally addicted. So I couldn't just have one cigarette in a day. I'd have 40. Then I became addicted to nicotine replacement.
Mm-hmm.
I did my fair share of drugs.
Yep.
Had to stop those because that was putting me in a downward spiral. Those of you who have taken cocaine will know that in your teens and 20s, when you do it, you can bounce back. The older you get, the worse it gets and the worse you feel. And I started to feel dreadful.
Yeah.
So I had to knock that on the head. So I'm happy to say now that the only two addictions I have right now are probably my morning coffee and exercise.
Yeah.
And again, full disclosure, I think the exercise addiction is twofold. I think it is a way for me to get rid of my stress.
Yeah.
Mm. Especially the long distance running. I find the ultra running is like it's like Zen yoga, but running.
Yeah.
It's long and slow and meditative and I love it.
Yeah.
But the other thing is I don't want to get fat.
Yeah.
And I've never been a fat person.
Mm.
And I have no problems. And I use the word fat a lot.
Yeah.
I have no problems using the word fat. I think we've become scared of the word fat and we find it offensive. It's not.
No,
it's something our body puts on. And it's not even an image thing with me. I think for me, I love the freedom of being able to move quickly.
Yeah.
And I've noticed in this lockdown, the very few times I've tried to run, with a stone on, it's become much, much harder.
Mm.
Yeah.
I've realised my physical self, and I'm sure there are some very large people out there who can move quickly.
Yeah.
I'm not that person.
Yeah.
The bigger I get, the slower I get.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I like that. I think it's an inherent safety thing with me. I like the option that actually, if shit came down,
you get out.
I could escape quickly.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to say. So it's definitely an addiction, but it's an addiction of sorts.
Yeah.
Mm. I like the fact that it gets me out. I like the fact that it forces me to meet people, depending on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because I could quite easily be a hermit. And I like learning new stuff.
Mm.
I like learning how to, I was going to say, do yoga better. There is no better yoga. Practice safer, let's say that.
Yeah.
So really understand the postures.
Yeah.
I like to be able to run, not necessarily faster, but longer and injury free. So I like learning stuff to do with that. I just like self-improvement in whatever it is, and exercise is it's an addiction, but it's a good one for me.
Yeah, it's interesting as well, because I find for me, I've never spoken to anyone professionally about it, but Jono knows and you know that I get anxious, and to the extent that so far I've been able to kind of manage it fairly well on my own. But the thing that honestly will snap me out of it quicker than anything is just to move to move quickly. And if I wake up feeling nervous, I've been all right actually recently, about maybe a month ago, for about a week, I woke up every morning and felt nervous. And there was that like pit of doom feeling in my stomach of, I don't know what I'm nervous about. I cannot put my finger on it, but I don't feel okay. And I just had dread follow me around for about a week. Mm-hmm. And the easiest way for me to feel more like myself was to either to get up and go out for a walk and be outside, which is a huge thing. Or I would get up, I'd put on a song and I wouldn't meditate. I would jump up and down like a freaking loon, like, and just get some of it out, because it felt like I just had too much. I always err on the side of having too much energy anyway. Mm. Very rarely, only if I kind of really crash, am I like lethargic. Mm. I'm more go, go, go.
Duracell bunny.
Yeah, yeah, I'm go, go, go.
We're
all
both
the time.
Fidgeters.
Yeah. And I think that sometimes it just, there's a peak that it gets to, and I get to that and I'm like, there's too much. Like, it has to go. Some of it has to go. And that's when I end up feeling like I did about a month ago. And I think it is just moving is the best cure. Like, it really is for me, because it makes the difference between, well, it is the difference between me being able to go about the rest of my day fairly, I say with commas, normally, and or being outwardly flat, but inside like vibrating with there's too much here here. And it's weird, it's like a little shutdown. There's inside is, it's like the, you know, that swan analogy where you have like the swan on the outside that's like really serene, really calm, nothing's happening, and then underneath it's like this. And I get very outwardly despondent but very inwardly chaotic. And yeah, moving is, oh, it makes the world a difference.
I like to chill.
Yeah, you like to chill.
I'm the opposite. Yeah. But I think that's because I'm always go, go, go on the outside, you know.
Yeah,
on the outside, I can't sit down.
Yeah, but inside you're calm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that, we're literally the opposite. We're like the yin and the yang. Yeah. Inside I'm go, go, go. And outwardly everyone's like, Amy just looks like so, everyone always tells me, you're so, you know, you're relaxed and you're chilled and you're calm. And actually outwardly you were like, right, I need to get this done. I need to get this done. But all with a sense of, it'll get done. It's fine. Everything's fine. And like, that's with, yeah, we've two sides of the same coin.
Yin and yang.
That's why you work so well.
That's it.
That's why we're getting married, baby.
Yeah. And we never normally see each other.
And we don't spend any time together, so.
God, you don't. Do you know, I was saying that to someone the other day. Who was I saying it to? Oh, I can't remember who I was saying it to, but I was saying, I know what it was. I was talking about the fact that Kiara and I had been together 24/7 since March. And actually, it's good for us to each leave the house and miss each other.
Yeah.
Mm. And I was thinking about you two. You never see each other.
No.
Like, ever.
No, but it was really funny because when we put out on social media about the podcast a week ago, 2 weeks ago, one of our friends, Becky, messaged me and was like, you guys must be seeing each other more than you ever normally do. How are you doing?
Yeah, I know.
I was like, yeah. We haven't killed each other.
It works for you. It works for you guys.
Absolutely. For us, it's not quantity, it's quality.
Yeah.
Like when we went to Devon the other week, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And that's because we just don't normally see each other.
No.
We don't normally hang out.
Yeah. It's nice. I like it.
But that's because you're also both very, very... If I put either of you alone in a survival situation, I would guarantee that both of you would get yourselves out of it.
Yeah. Mm.
You're both very, very capable, and you're both
scrappy,
very independent and happy getting yourselves through life.
Yeah.
You know, there are some couples that massively depend on each other, and that's fine too. Mm. You know, some people need others much more. You're both very independent.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I like you said, I think it depends on the relationship. I think people are very different, but I don't need you.
No, not at all.
And I can say that to you and you would feel the same way about me. You don't need, well, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, excuse me. who took the sink apart earlier and pulled all of the fat and grease out of it?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, it was
you
me.
Did.
Yeah.
But I think both of us as individuals are, you know, we're happy on our own. We don't need to be in a relationship. It's just the fact that we've been in one for like 13 years.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we like each other's company.
Yeah.
Every now and then,
small doses. But
it works for us, you know.
Wait until episode 121 of this podcast.
Who are you?
And you go, how was your week? Great.
Who is
How
she?
Was yours? Great.
Yeah, it probably would be, yeah.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah. And then we mentioned it at the beginning of this, and I feel we have to talk about it because me and you, I think we talk about it every single time we see each other or every time we speak to each other. And we've mentioned it to a couple of people previously on the podcast, you know, their relationship with social media as either yoga teachers, as, you know, we spoke to Antonio and Ken about how they manage their social media, obviously, as hosts of retreats. We spoke to, mentioned to Gemma last week and how, you know, as a manager of a business, you kind of deal with social media and things. And actually, me and you speak about it a lot, social media, and how we love it and hate it at the same time, very much so. And I think I would not be amiss to say that our biggest bugbear is the lack of truth or just
welcome to the world.
And I don't know if you would class it actually as, I don't know if it is authenticity or honesty, because I don't think they're the same thing. And I don't know if it's a lack of authenticity or if it's a lack of honesty that is our biggest bugbear. What do you think?
Oh, how long have we got?
I know, right?
In fact, let's just talk about for the rest of the podcast. Yeah. quite frankly, I think there is a need. I really do. Gosh, where to start? I used to be a complete social media whore.
Yeah.
So started with Facebook. I loved it. I loved the fact that I could show off my achievements, my photos, my whatever. Look how great I look in my thing. I mean, it just makes me want to vomit now when I think about it. The irresponsible behavior I exhibited, I'm ashamed of. But anyway, that was however long ago. When did we start Facebook?
2006 or something? 2005, 2006?
Probably.
Can't even remember.
Can't even remember. So I was one of those people. I fully admit I used to show off on social media because that's what I thought the platform was for. That's what everyone did. Yep. We shared our stuff. Look how great my life is. Fabulous. So I really only stuck to Facebook then. I never was really into MySpace and things like that. Facebook was really where it all began. Didn't ever really get into Twitter. I kind of understood it.
Yeah, no, I didn't either.
Really my arena. Intended to be full of people in the arts or journalists, people in the media, fine. Instagram, though, great. You can have just pictures with how great you look and how fantastic your life is. Even better. Facebook became a little bit spy-y, I think, when Instagram started to get big. So Instagram seemed a bit more... attractive because you could just basically post successful photos and have people like them and comment on them. Whereas Facebook, I think a lot of people use to spy on their exes. But you know, again, that's another train of thought. It's just, it was one big show off. And actually, I started to get disillusioned with it probably about 3-4 years ago, but persisted with it. Because I started to notice a trend, which was that the more attractive you looked in something, the more likes and comments you got. With the exception of Facebook, people putting stuff like, I've had the worst day, blah, 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 something cryptic. And that would also garner attention. Not that I tended to do that, but I also noticed that in other people. So that's the first thing that started to bother me, I think, was that I was fully aware I was going in search of validation externally. And then it's a drug, right? It's a slot machine. It's been designed that one roll of the dice or one pull of that slot machine handle is not enough. You post something and your phone conveniently reminds you the whole time that the app is there and that you need to go and have a look at either what's happened to you and your attention, or maybe someone's posted something new about their life. And this need to constantly go in search of that. So lockdown started, and as you know, Kiara and I started doing these Instagram lives.
Which were the highlight of every day.
I mean, we just love them. I have to be honest. I love doing it. It felt a little bit like public service.
Mm. Yeah.
Because people were suddenly lonely and isolated and whatever.
On behalf of the public, it felt like public service, and we thank you for it.
Thank you. I'd love to go back and do something like that. What I noticed was it, and you probably noticed this with Instagram Live, that what happened is the more and more people started doing lives, the more you got kicked off.
Yeah.
It just became a pain.
Yeah.
We kept trying to go live, and it kept kicking us off because we didn't have 23 million followers. So we stopped that. And actually, we stopped that, and I stopped posting on my own personal Instagram account.
Yeah.
I chatted to Kiara about it, and I said, I don't really want my own account anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not that comfortable about sharing my stuff now. I feel like we live in a society that needs to know everything about everyone else.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't want to be a part of that. And because I've got such an addictive personality, it's so easy for me to pick up this, you know, I'm just holding my phone up for Amy and Jono, and to just automatically, without even thinking, go and check something out. So I've taken the apps off my phone. I've paused my private my personal Instagram account. Kiara and I have joined forces on Two Mums and a Diva. And Kiara has this need to post stuff, so that's up to her. I don't really feel that need. And actually, now that I don't do it, the sense of freedom is enormous. At the beginning, I had FOMO, complete FOMO. People kept messaging me going, are you all right, babe?
Yeah.
Are you okay? I mean, haven't heard from you. But it highlighted something very, very interesting. And that is, because I haven't been on the platform and replying, the people who have contacted me via text or WhatsApp really are my true friends. Those people who I genuinely have a proper connection with have got in touch. The rest just wanted to see what I was up to.
Yeah. Or what drama had happened in your life that could help feed their curiosity.
Yeah.
In all essence.
The other thing is, the other reason I knew I was doing it for the wrong reasons was because I have absolutely no interest in doing my Gelateria business account.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I can't be bothered to take photographs of chocolates and put them up. And this is what we're doing today in store, guys. Come on down.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't tick my significance box.
Yeah.
So that shows you that the reason I was using it was totally wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something I really struggle with, because you go to war with yourself a bit as a, I think probably just generally as a fitness professional, I don't think it even needs to be a yoga teacher, but you feel like you have to be out there and be seen. And
yeah, because otherwise you wouldn't have any clients,
right? And that, you know, without social media, no one's going to know who you are. You won't have a business. And it's really interesting, because there's these two massive different divergent schools of thought, especially within yoga, and they are that you have to be online, you have to have a presence, you have to have a mailing list, you have to have social medias, because if you do not have that, you will fail. Or there's the other school of thought, which is very much, you don't need that, you will attract the right people through word of mouth and they will find you. You can build a business without it. You can make a lot of money without it. And actually, I think they're it's probably somewhere more in the middle. You know, I don't think that it's particularly one. I don't think it's particularly other. But for me personally, I struggle because, oh my God, I can't be bothered to write a caption.
Some of them are such bullshit.
I really can't.
Here's a photo, not you. Here's a photo of me in my bikini doing a handstand.
Yeah.
Sorry, love. Fuck you. You're not posting that photo because you want us to read your spiritual bullshit quote underneath. Talking about chakras, which, by the way, you haven't even got in the right order. So you might want to check them before you write them.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm ranting now.
No, go for it.
You just want us to validate how great you look.
And I think there's a line. I have no issue with someone posting a picture of them on a beach in a handstand and underneath going, felt like it. I have no issue with that. I have no issue with someone being like, you know, putting a picture up and just saying, fuck it, I wanted to. So this is the picture I've posted today. That's a different thing. Posting that picture and using it as clickbait and then writing what you think, you know, you should be writing underneath it, whatever that is, God knows what's underneath there, is a different thing altogether. And this is, I think, the primary issue that I have with social media as a yoga teacher, in that people don't care about what your day looked like. They don't. They don't. No. If it's mundane, they don't care. People don't want you to take a picture of your study material or the books that you're reading, the research that you were doing. You know, sat in a yin pose in, you know, odd socks and bleach covered trousers. What people want to see are the yoga poses, the being on a beach, the, in all essence, contortionism. That's what people want. But because people are thinking, oh, I feel bad about that, they then put a caption underneath, which is, I mean, essentially a lie. And there's just this massive wall between the two that's just really inauthentic and makes no sense. Mm.
Do you know the biggest problem I have with a lot of yoga instructors, and I mean this again with no malice, I don't think it's actually their fault, I don't think they've realised it, but there are two different types of yoga instructor that I've encountered, and I've done a lot of different yoga styles.
You used to do a lot of Ashtanga yoga, didn't you?
Yeah. Did Bikram, I did Ashtanga. I've done a few different styles. And I'm able to spot it in a heartbeat now, because I used to be someone looking for validation. Two different yoga instructors. Those old school people who really have learnt their craft initially to help themselves in their own bodies, that they then become so passionate about the healing that they have done in themselves, whatever that looks like, that they want to help others. And they genuinely care about other people's experience in class, that doesn't boil down to whether they can do a handstand or not, or how flexible they are. It's a concern for how you leave them feeling on the mat at the end of class, period. Then there are those, and I know quite a few of them, who used to go to yoga classes because someone told them they'd get a smoking hot body. So they started going to yoga, they got the smoking hot body. Someone said to them, you'd actually make a really good teacher. Or if they were really honest with themselves, if I do this as a profession and I teach 25 classes a week, I'm going to stay really, really thin, slim, whatever you want to say. And I'll keep my smoking hot body teaching yoga. Those are the people that often tend to have the biggest following, because what they do is they turn it into a popularity contest, a contortion contest, and how good looks someone looks in their bikini. Those are the people, and a lot of them don't even realize they're doing it, that have put me off a lot of yoga.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say you were one of the first people, Amy, when I did your class, that you weren't like that.
That's because I can't do any of the contortion poses, babe.
But there are a lot of poses that you can't do, and you will openly say,
and you're very honest about it,
this isn't for me, and you won't teach those poses because you're like, well,
I mean, for me, some of it is because I, you know, my body is not comfortable in them, and second of all, actually, because if you look at the simple biomechanics, a human body isn't meant to be in them, and therefore I won't teach them.
You and I, Amy, are fascinated by the human body. It's one of the things that joins us.
Yeah.
And we are so passionate about people feeling good.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I know people that have pushed themselves so hard they've got detached retinas. I know people that have completely messed up their shoulder girdle from doing handstands and headstands that aren't supported enough.
Yeah.
They've thrown themselves into them without the correct strength to be able to hold themselves, shoulders protracted in that position. They're going into a handstand where their shoulders up by their ears, collapsing into it. It's okay, I've got my feet against the wall. You know, I'm not going to fall. No, but you're going to fuck your shoulders up if you carry on like that.
Yeah.
Again, I'm ranting. But you and I have this joy of human movement, this fascination with learning about how we can move our bodies better.
Mm-hmm.
And it saddens me that something that is very spiritual, is very simple, that's free to most people in India, that if you ignore the Bikrams of this world, it's been brought in as a very low cost or free way that people can move their bodies in countries where they don't have access to fancy gyms, lots of equipment. And actually, can I just bring up the walking thing in that? You know, you said you when you're feeling really overwhelmed, and this has come out of a post I saw recently that a very popular yoga teacher posted. But you and I love to go for walks when we feel overwhelmed. Mm. And this yoga teacher, she was from the States, posted a photograph of herself going for a walk where she lives on the west coast of America in this beautiful area, sort of slightly wooded area, saying, you know, come on, everyone, get yourselves out for a walk. Started my day with a green juice. Now I'm walking in green nature. That's a fucking privilege.
Oh, it's, yeah, huge privilege.
You know, a lot of your followers might live in high-rise council estates or tenement blocks, however, whichever country you come from. You may not have access to lots of lovely vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, you might be going to McDonald's or fast food restaurants every day because it's a cheap, calorific way to fill yourself up.
Yeah.
And actually, to go for a walk where you live might be dangerous, might be dark, might be dirty.
Yeah.
And that's something that has annoyed me so much about social media, both in fitness and out of it, is that a lot of it is coming from a place of extreme privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many people that don't have access to that.
No.
Maybe they're disabled, which is also very underrepresented. Maybe they can't afford to go and pay $16 or £15 for a class.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're really, really overweight and scared to turn up to a class and expose themselves in positions where they have to bend over or they have to jump up and down and feel everything jiggle.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, for someone very, very large, that's very uncomfortable.
And it's also very difficult because obviously, we spoke about this last week as well. I'm very aware that I'm a very stereotypical image of a middle-class Western yoga teacher.
Yeah.
I just am. And I'm very aware of that. And there are a few people that I've had in my classes and we've been in a pose, like a lizard pose or something like that. And I've said, or in low lunge, and I've said, put both hands to the inside of your leg because, you know, if you've got a bigger chest, that will get in the way. Yeah. And I've had people afterwards come up to me and go, no one's ever told us to move our hands, and I just thought I couldn't do the pose.
Yeah.
And I am baffled that you don't take the time to consider that.
Mm.
It completely blows my mind.
Read the room.
Read the room. Read the room. But also, you know what? If you're in a room and that's all you have in your room, maybe you need to change frickin' rooms. Maybe you need to change that up. And that starts with you as a yoga teacher making that more accessible. Who cares if you can't touch your toes? I don't care. I don't care. All I want when you come to a yoga practice with me, when you come to a class with me, is that you leave with a bit of more maybe understanding of how incredible your body is. Mm. And it might not be that you feel it's incredible because, again, that's a privilege because you might feel like your body fails you daily, either through being disabled, through an eating disorder, through whatever trauma you have surrounding your body, and there's more of the population that do than don't.
Yep.
It just makes me so frustrated that people go to a class and don't learn anything about how incredible their bodies are. I'm not the teacher that's going to lead you through a chakra meditation and you're going to like float off your mat at the end of it. It's a skill. Those teachers are amazing and they have that. That's not what I'm about. But I don't think the physical is any less spiritual than the mental side of the practice. I don't think you need to sit and meditate for 5 minutes to have a spiritual experience. You can have it when you move around your mat, when someone's taught you how to move safely and within the realms of confidence and competency for your body, I think that can be just as empowering and just as powerful. And it just does blow my mind that teachers don't consider those things and choose their language appropriately and carefully, because it matters how you say things. It matters the cues you give.
But if we go, and I 100% agree with you, and if we go back to the social media discussion, I think if you took away social media tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if you took away social media tomorrow, I use my ice cream business because you know it, both of you know it. Mm. We have done no advertising, really, since day one. No advertising. I'm shit on social media when it comes to my business. Shit. Fully prepared, put my hands up in the air, can't be bothered. Word of mouth has got Carlo and I to where we've got to. Mm. Mm. Now, at times we've been too complacent. We've needed to shake things up and we haven't. We're still trying to do that. But people come to us because we use the best quality ingredients that we can buy.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that quality will always out.
Yeah.
So I think if you took social media away tomorrow, your most loyal customers are going to spread the word for you.
Yeah.
Mm. And those people with the big followings that spout a load of bullshit, no matter what arena they're in, ultimately don't work.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable long term.
No.
You might get a few people turning up once in a while because they think the reason they want to be on the mat is that they can have that body, but that's not really what life's about, as we know, right? We're taught that in the fitness world, people either want to fuck us or they want to look like us, and that's the reason they turn up. And some of that is true. It's human nature, you know, especially in the fitness presenting world.
Yeah.
People will turn up to a class either because they want to fuck you or because they want to look like you. But that happens for the first class.
Mm. You don't go back.
That piques their curiosity. It doesn't necessarily sustain someone coming back for more. And that's the biggest thing I think people don't understand.
Yeah.
They think that that's the be all and end all, and that's enough of a talent to get them through. I completely disagree.
Mm.
Some of the best instructors in fitness ever have been the ones that are constantly trying to get the best from the people that they are working with.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And if you look at YogaFit, and I don't want to favorite anyone, so I'm just going to mention you and someone very different. If you turn up to an AB Yoga Basics class, doesn't matter what level you're at, you can do the same as everyone else.
Mm.
You give the option that everyone can do the same pose with a few alterations.
Yeah.
No one feels left out. Everyone feels included. You give full disclosure. Oh, and by the way, guys, you know, I can get lower because I don't have big tits. You know, you'll make a joke out of it. You put people at ease. Oh, but by the way, you know, this isn't my forte. Some of you will be able to go much further. You teach a real class.
Mm.
You say it as it is and you include everyone. The other person I'm going to mention, mainly because I did her class and I couldn't do any of it, lovely fitness mama, teaches a combat class.
Oh, God, she's killer, isn't
she? I mean, I'm buggered if I could follow that. I'd never done combat before, so that was one problem I was suffering from. The second problem I was suffering from was I did Lisa's yoga class the day before, and I actually couldn't move my body.
Oh God!
Because it hurts so much. By the way, she teaches a freaking hard class.
Yeah, she does.
Absolutely.
That out there.
Yeah.
Amazing. But I did the combat class the next day, and I could barely move because I was hurting so much. In the end, I ended up stepping to one side and just watching her teach.
Yeah.
And I know nothing about teaching combat.
Yeah.
What I do know is every single person in that class, and it was packed, was giving her 110%.
Yeah.
Why? Because so was she.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was on that stage giving it. I mean, I've never seen so much power in someone on a stage.
Oh, God, yeah.
Phenomenal.
She's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And that's why she has the following, and I don't just mean in numbers,
yeah,
the quality of following that she does.
Yeah.
Because you want to come and work out with me?
Come on then.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do. But Kiara and I also went to something very different that she taught, which was body balance, which was stunning.
Yeah.
And you were assisting her. I think it was you and Antonia were assisting her. I was moved to tears at the end of it. And again, she showed us a very different side of herself. She was vulnerable. She was gentle. She was inclusive.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about the number of followers you have. Mm. It's about caring 100% about the people in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I love coaching people. Someone comes to a one-to-one session with me, I will, even if I don't know the subject that they want me to help them with, I'll tell them and then I'll say, but guaranteed by next week, I will have read up about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And we can discuss it. Or if it's really not in my remit, I will give them to another coach, someone that I know can coach them better.
Yeah.
But I just want people to feel good about themselves.
Yeah. It's funny actually, because I put on, so on my little list of questions here, I put as well, and in my notes that I have on my phone, searches for the joy. And I think that, I think you more than most people I think I've met that have been in the industry, you will manage to find the thread of joy in whatever it is that you're doing. You know, I know because you've come, you know, I've seen you after a run and you've come back and it's been pissing down of rain and you've had to stop every 5 minutes because you just felt really tired and it was just an off day. But, you know, you've been with your friends and, you know, Moni always springs to mind and you have laughed until you've cried the entire way around and you're like, that was the best run. You've, in terms of your performance, it was absolutely terrible, but... Yeah. That was the best run I've been on. And, you know, me and you, I always remember us going to Inferno Pilates.
Oh, don't.
Oh, dear God. And we both went, and Bridget was like, yeah, let's go. It'll be really, it'll be like Pilates, but they'll, like, turn the temperature up. And I was like, all right, great. And it was not that at all. Yeah. It was, like, HIIT and Pilates and core conditioning in, like, a 45-degree room.
We got hysterical, didn't we?
We got hysterical and we were dying. And they were asking us to do like a squat and then a kick. And everyone was looking at us like, what's wrong with you? We were doing like karate noises in between everything. Yeah, yeah. We were like high-fiving. We came out. I remember getting a text from you about 9 o'clock that night being like, I've just tried to sit down on the toilet. And it's taken me 20 minutes for my ass to hit the seat. And I couldn't get up when I peed. I had to like lean forward. Yeah.
It was the hardest thing. I think I've run 100 kilometer races. It was harder doing Inferno Pilates than that.
Yeah. But
it was so hard.
Yeah.
We got hysterical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and we loved it.
But I think that's part of you as well. You know, so many people in that situation could have been like, oh, screw this. This is too hard. I can't do this. Yeah. Like I'm giving up. We just then went balls to the wall and did it full out and like died a little bit afterwards, but we had so much fun. And I think that's just in everything you do, that's who you are.
You know, it is and it isn't. And for your listeners, I'm going to disclose something now that I haven't actually put out on the public forum, but I don't mind if you're happy for me to talk about it.
Yeah,
I'd like to just mention it because it's valid. Yeah. And then, honestly, I know we've wittered for over an hour already. I will shut up and you can go and enjoy the rest of the day. I really feel like we could talk for hours.
Yeah.
I do. So I do find the joy in things. I'm very happy with very little in life. Mm. I would be quite happily being a minimalist. I'd have to be a cozy minimalist. Yeah. So I'm not into sort of stark Japanese design.
Yeah, yeah.
I like roaring fires.
Yeah.
I'd be quite happy owning sort of 30 items and that's it.
Yeah.
More than happy.
Yeah.
One thing that happened in lockdown was, so Kara and I started isolating and my GP was full of doom and gloom with me at the beginning of the thing saying, Bridget, you've got to be very, very careful. Your immune system is very low. I'll admit it got to me.
Mm.
So lockdown didn't get to me, but that sense of, shit, if I get this, it might be game over.
Yeah.
Mm. Suddenly occurred to me, because my wife was pregnant, and all of a sudden, it's not about me and whether I'm alive or not. I've got a little one to look after. And I suddenly became very aware of my own mortality.
Yeah.
Whereas it hadn't bothered me before.
Mm.
Dying doesn't actually bother me.
Yeah.
Dying and leaving my wife and my child bothers me.
Yeah.
So that got on top of me.
Mm.
And I got to the stage where Kiara and I went more and more downhill. Kiara gave birth, and the birthing experience was dreadful.
Yeah.
Any of you that are listening that gave birth during lockdown, hats off to you. Mm. I know the struggles you went through. I wasn't allowed into the birth until right at the end.
Yeah.
The birth was fine, but we had big complications afterwards. And then an hour after she gave birth, I had to leave the hospital, COVID regulations, leaving my wife in complete and utter disarray and panic.
Yeah.
Mm. And not being able to spend any time with my newborn baby in a heat wave, it was dreadful.
Yeah.
And then we got the Kiara home. Oh, so then the next day I tried to go and visit Kiara, and they wouldn't let me onto the ward because I wasn't a husband.
Yeah.
You can imagine how that went down.
Yep.
That was another chipping away at the ice block that got smaller and smaller. Got Kiara home and the baby, and it was so hot. It was like 37 degrees.
Mm.
We ended up having to sleep on the floor, on the ground floor of our house. And it just all got too much.
Yeah.
Kiara really struggled. I really struggled. We were then under the psychiatric department at the hospital, both of us. We both sought help.
Yeah.
Anyway, cut a long story short, Kiara is getting through it with the help of talking therapy.
Yeah.
But I said to Kiara, it's really highlighted the fact that for a long time now, I haven't been able to smile and find joy.
Mm.
And that's when I knew something was really wrong with me.
Yeah.
Because I can always find the joy.
Yeah.
Couldn't find any joy. I was waking up every morning with this dark cloud literally enveloping me. And I just couldn't shake myself out of it. No amount of going out for a walk or trying to run or yoga, it wasn't happening. So I made the call to my GP and discussed it with her. And she said, listen, Bridget, you've got two problems. You are menopausal and you're depressed.
Yeah.
And your depression now is clinical.
Mm.
You know, we use this term mental health a lot. And I think we use the term depression a lot and anxiety a lot.
Different things.
What I realized, this true clinical depression, you cannot just shake yourself out of.
No.
I'm now taking this SSRI called sertraline. Feel like a different person.
Mm.
I feel like Bridget is back.
Yeah.
I'm finding the joy. I can laugh at myself again. You know, Kiara said, I knew you weren't right when you stopped being able to take the piss out of yourself.
Yeah.
And I am now.
Yeah.
I can laugh again. We had hysterics last night, Kiara and I, for about 20 minutes. So much so she nearly weed herself. And I feel the joy again.
Yeah.
And without that medication, I think I would still be down there. I would still be very, very low. And the reason I'm sharing this with you all is because on my own podcast, which I haven't done for a while, I'm full disclosure on that.
Yeah.
And it's really important for me because I think a lot of people think that I am this happy-go-lucky, successful business person. I'm here to tell you, well, I am, but actually, sometimes I need help.
Yeah.
And there is no stigma in asking for help. No. And actually, it's made me feel like me again.
Yeah.
Mm.
So connecting that with the social media discussion, there are too many people on there saying that fitness is the answer to mental health.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this, not.
Helps.
Yeah.
It helps.
Definitely. But I think, I've had discussions with people about this before as well, is that having diagnosed depression, having diagnosed anxiety, eating disorders, OCD, schizophrenia, it doesn't matter, whatever it is very different from you being able, from you experience something, an emotion or whatever it is that you can pull yourself out from.
Mm.
Because I looked up, I have to say, I looked up counsellors in my local area and was like, okay, so I've got a list of them. I've had a look through. I think I know which ones would be most appropriate for me. And maybe then I start having that conversation with them. And actually, after the end of that week, I'd come kind of back out of that and felt very much myself again. If I go there again, I won't hesitate to reach out and speak to someone.
Mm.
But the difference is that I could pull myself out and I could function. And it's a different thing altogether. And I think there's a blurring because we hear a lot of the time it's okay to not be okay. And whilst a beautiful sentiment, it's also okay to be okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think mental health becomes a trend.
Yes.
Whereby we say, you know, I'm feeling anxious today. That's fine. That doesn't mean you have anxiety.
No.
It's
no.
a different thing. And yeah, that's my other kind of
and
issue.
And you know, life is shit, right? You know, at times for people, there's, oh, God, there's enormous joy, but people die.
Yeah.
People close to us die.
Yeah.
People get very ill. We might become a carer for someone temporarily.
Yeah.
We might have business struggles. Those are normal things that can make us feel terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean we're suffering from clinical depression or anxiety. Those are life events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, if you wake up every day under a black cloud and you cannot face going outside, or you are so anxious that it's stopping you sleeping, it's causing hallucinations, you're developing traits of OCD or eating disorders, it's another discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you're right. It's not a badge of honour.
No.
Mm-mm.
If you feel okay and you tell the world.
Yeah. Amazing.
Because that's you being authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, you know, not to say that, you know, if you're having those feelings, you can't talk to someone about it. You absolutely can.
Of course you can.
That's your choice. But I'm just saying they are, you know, like you said, they're different things.
Yeah. There's a massive difference.
You know, but I do think that it's helpful, because if you don't, I mean, Jesus, if you can't talk about the small things, how are you going to talk about the big things? You know.
And if you are suffering from the big things, maybe the first step is to talk to someone about it.
Yeah.
Because that person very well, which is what happened with my GP.
Yeah.
She said to me, Bridget, this isn't going to be resolved with CBT or exercise now.
Yeah.
You're going to need, and I don't know how long you're going to need to be on them for, but you're displaying patterns which worry me.
Yeah.
So let's get it sorted. Yeah. Not saying this is the drug for you. We might need to try two or three.
Yeah.
Let's start somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she was right.
Yeah.
I feel completely different.
And I
know people that have been on it for 20 years, 10 years, 20. Maybe that's me.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think, you know, you could be on it for the next 20 years, or it could just give you the breathing space to be able to then address the patterns, address the things that need some work. And some support in whatever avenue that help comes from.
Mm.
I think a lot of the time, you know, people really worry about medication and things like that. And actually, sometimes you just need a leveler, and you need some breathing space.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
That's what that can be for people.
Yeah. And if you are someone that's coming from an addictive background, the leveler used to be cigarettes, drugs, whatever. Mm. Or alcohol for some people is a great leveler.
Yeah.
And I don't have those crutches now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... I mean, I've got chocolate. Chocolate's always my friend.
Always.
The only problem is sertraline also makes you put on weight.
Oh, no.
I need to rethink that strategy at the moment. Because I'm quite attached to my new Sweaty Betty leggings that I got last Christmas. And I don't, that's another thing. I don't like this mass consumerism. I don't want to go out if I can help it and buy. A whole new wardrobe. Yeah. I'd quite like to keep the one I've got.
Yeah.
I never go shopping.
No, Jono doesn't ever go shopping, do you?
It's overrated, Jono.
It's overrated.
I hate it. I hate shopping. Just order something online, try it on. If it doesn't fit, send it back. Yeah. Be done with it.
If it's functional, wear it. You know? I'm not into fashion.
Wear it. I'm not in, oh, bless you. Fashion's not into
Is that going to be your wedding motto as well, Jono?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, probably.
It's functional. I'm turning up in it.
That's it. Be comfortable. Be, you know, if it yeah.
be
job,
free. Be comfortable.
That's it. Yeah.
But that's one of the lovely things about you, Jono, is you're very, very unapologetic about who you are.
Yeah.
It's another thing we can all learn from you.
Yeah. No, you are.
Genuinely,
you're
don't
yourself.
Care.
Yeah.
Not bothered.
Very happy in your skin.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
A very nice skin it is too.
It is olive.
Oh, for God's sake. Olive we have skin. This discussion all the time. He thinks that he like sits outside for 5 minutes and he's got a tan because he's Italian. Half Italian. But he thinks
I'm not ashamed to say that I'm only half Italian.
But he thinks
but it is the better
but
half.
But he thinks he's like, you know, olive skinned within 30 seconds of sun exposure.
It is.
You know, the only problem is now, Jono, with this pandemic going on, I mean, who knows when we're going to see the sun again? Someone said to me the other day, I mean, what was it? Oh, no, they said, I reckon we're all going to be locked down until the 2nd of December. Then they'll have a rolling lockdown. They'll let us all go and see as many people as we can on Christmas Day. So it's basically the roads are going to be gridlocked.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to be like, right, I'm going to go to that family member, then that family member, we're going to have this thing. Basically, no one's going to be going anywhere because everyone's going to be on the road.
Yep.
Yep.
won't be able to travel at all, yep. Gridlock. So basically, we're all going to spend the day in our cars. Yeah. That will happen Christmas Day and Boxing Day. Then after that, Boris is going to say, yeah, locking you all down again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until who knows when, yeah. quite frankly. Because, yeah. you know. But.
Who knows?
But. We're all happy.
We're okay.
We're having a simpler life.
Yeah.
If we are locked down, we find, and you two are very good at this, we find joy in what is around us.
Yeah.
Knitting.
And like you said, it's a privilege. You know, we both live in lovely areas, green yeah, leafy areas. Fortunate. Jono's growing his crops. Soon he's going to be a fully fledged farmer. You're going to end up being a farmer's wife, living in the Peak District, doing Zoom from your very shaky broadband in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
I'm just looking into the future here.
Yep.
You'll probably have some animals. You will definitely have chickens with names. Jono will have 10 polytunnels.
Yes.
He'll then start a village initiative. So all these villagers will be coming round. He'll be giving them their own plot on your land. You'll have a kitchen back door that's always open. Constant cups of tea.
The dream.
It's basically the good life.
That's basically what I see happening.
Yeah.
It's the good life.
I do look at farms on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You two, the reason I'm saying this, is, I mean, who knows whether it will happen, but you two, I know, could do that and be equally as happy as you are now living in a town.
Mm.
Why? Because you're both very happy in the skin you're in, with the skills you have, with this curiosity to constantly better yourself in whatever you're doing, which I think makes people feel alive.
Mm. Yeah.
With very few possessions. And the possessions you have really mean something and you make them last. And I think if it's one thing people take away from you as a couple, it's not that you're an amazing sound guy, Jono, a technician. Amy, it's not that you're the most incredible yoga teacher. It's that you're both very, very comfortable with what you have in the skin you're in.
Yeah.
And it's a great lesson.
Yeah. Oh, that was nice. Oh. Nice little ending point, wasn't it?
It was.
Oh,
it
thank was. You, B.
Love you both.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure to
thank
have you.
Thank you so much. I've
I
loved
love
it.
Chatting to you.
I could do it. I could chat for hours and hours and hours.
Maybe we'll do a part two.
Yeah, let's do a part two.
Another 100 people.
Yeah. well, when we get to the stage where we hate each other after 100 podcasts, and then we'll have you back on and we'll see what the atmosphere
I'm
is
gonna
like.
I'm going to get you on my podcast, definitely. Yeah. I'm going to get you on mine, My In Bed With Bridget.
Yeah.
But I think you two, even if 100 episodes in, you say, how's your week? Great. Great. We'll still have a laugh.
Yeah. We
oh, absolutely.
We absolutely. Oh, we love you, B.
Oh,
love
thanks.
You.
We love you.
I'm going to go and cuddle my baby now.
Go and cuddle your baby. Give her a kiss from me and beautiful Kiara. We love you.
We love you.
Love
Bye.
You.
Bye.
And she's gone.
She's gone.
And that brings us to the end of episode 4.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
That was a lovely chat.
That was
we nice. Love Bea very much.
We
don't
do. We do. She is superhuman.
She is a superhuman.
In every sense of the word.
Yeah.
Words.
And really lovely to have such a frank and honest chat with her. I mean, when you speak to Bridget anyway, that's very much what happens, whether it's on a podcast or not on a podcast.
Mm.
But it's really lovely to, have that level of honesty and openness.
Yeah.
When you're chatting to someone.
And if you find yourselves in Richmond, go and check out her ice cream shop and chocolate shop.
Gelateria Danieli in Brewers Lane and also Danieli on the Green. And they also have one in Kingston as well, in the Bento Centre, which is currently still open for ice cream. And they do the best gelato and the best chocolates. And they also do things if you're vegan as well. So if you're vegan.
Something for everyone.
Something for everyone. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, don't forget to like, subscribe, follow. And until next time, we'll see you later.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.